Hallelujah. The holiness of God. I saw someone step into a cloud of His holiness. And I just saw stuff just falling off. It wasn't hard. It was really beautiful. They just stepped in, and some of the stuff just fell off. The Lord say, don't be afraid to step in. Because when you step into the cloud of my presence, you are changed. Someone in here, you've been crying out for something to be removed. Your heart is good, but you've struggled with habits and issues and just problems, you know. But the Lord says tonight, I feel like He's saying tonight is your night. He's healing eczema right now. Someone has eczema, but it's leaving. And I don't know anything about eczema, but I know it's been painful. Command it to go and leave this place and never return and never touch anyone here again in Jesus' name. There's someone here that He said has suffered loss. I mean, this is a recent loss. And this loss felt so profound. That this person that's suffered this loss, you almost felt like you were hit so hard, it was almost like you didn't want to really even go on. And I saw the Lord pick you up and carry you. saw him pick you up and carry you, and you just couldn't really go on. It's almost like you were just hit so hard by this loss. You know, the love of God is so very great. When we just can't do it, He does it for us. He says He will carry you for as long as you need Him to carry you. I'm giving you a new life. Saw him pick up someone's past. Now this sounds strange, but it looked like the road that you had walked, you know, it was pretty dusty and you were moving forward, but you'd been on a long dry road. And this isn't for everybody, okay? So if you're new to this kind of meeting and you think, well, that doesn't make sense to me, that's okay. Just wait. God's talking to someone, okay? But I saw this dusty path, a long dry way, and I saw you're entering into some new things, and I saw it was like God picked up the past and all the dust, and it was like an old burlap sack full of dust, and He said, you don't need this anymore. You don't need the stuff from your past anymore, because this is a new day. I am the maker of new things, new ways, new lives. Old things are done away with. So stop looking at yesterday's failure. Stop looking at all the mistakes you made and all the ripple effects of all the mistakes you've made. Because God's doing something new. And when He does something new, it's not because we did it right or, you know, it's not, it's His grace. His love for us because we're His kids. He's doing a new thing, you know, in spite of us, right? Not because of us, but in spite of us. So He's saying, do you let it go? Let it go. Let it go. Let the past go. Let all the mistakes go. Let's start over, He says, you and me. Let's start over. I'm bigger than your past. I'm bigger than your faults. I'm bigger than the errors, I'm bigger than the mistakes, I'm bigger than the drugs, I'm bigger than the alcohol. I'm bigger than mental disorders, He said. I am bigger than neurological problems and pathways, hallelujah. I see a window opening and almost like you're going to get to fly, you know. For the first time in your life, someone here, you've always been bound up, stuck. There's someone here that your life was like decided for you. You're going to soar, you're going to fly for the first time. And I heard someone say, but what about this and what about that? And you're still looking back over your shoulder at all the things you did. But Lord said, let's take a minute and let's look at what I did. Let's take a minute and let's look at the cross. Let's look at the ascension. Because when you see what I've done, and we'll exchange what you've done for what I've done, okay? Let's take all the junk, all the garbage, all the problems, all the mistakes, all the wrong words that were spoken. Let's take all the anger. Let's take all the sin. Let's take it all and let's trade it in. And in its place, I'm going to give you a new life, new righteousness, new hope. So come to the cross and leave your junk. Let's burn it up, okay? He says. Let's take all your stuff and your pain and your wounds, your broken heart and all your troubles and sorrows. Let's take it all. All those mean things that were said to you that weren't true. All those things that were accusations from the enemy and from people and all the broken relationships. Bring it all. Bring your burlap bag. Bring it all. Every bit of it. Every trace. Let's dump it all out at the foot of the cross, he says, and I'll burn it up under the blood. The blood has healing power, and it also has a great power of destruction to destroy the works of the evil one. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, to destroy the works of the evil one. Someone of you is going to take your old identity. We're going to nail it to the cross and instead receive his identity. Hear him say, I receive. I receive all your stuff. Give it to me. Don't argue with me over it. Give me all your junk. Give me every wound. the things that have caused you to stumble. And in its place, I'll give you life, life more abundantly, and hope. Some of you have never really gotten to have the real heavenly hope. You know, there's a hope from heaven. I see him releasing purpose tonight in this room. But I see different purposes going to different people. Like he's releasing your purpose. And this is going to sound a little funny, but I see him sort of throwing them out like almost reminds you of how you might throw a frisbee. But I saw him just releasing purpose to people. Now, this makes no sense to me, but I saw someone here. You have a calling that has to do with Washington, D.C. I don't know what it is. I don't know who you are. But I saw clearly a form of a person that's in this room right now called to do something. You already know about it, but I'm just confirming it to you from God. And he said he will make a way. There's someone here, you're going to do some traveling for Jesus. You're going to do the work of the Lord, but I see you. I see your feet will go many miles. I saw you doing many, many, lots of trips with lots of stops. You're going to travel for Jesus. You're going to make an impact. There's someone here, you've been called to the ministry for many years, and you've always known it, but no one ever seemed to see it on you. You wonder, why don't people see this? Am I imagining it yet? Deep down, you know you're not imagining it. Deep down, you know that you know. You absolutely know there's a calling. You say, why don't people see it? Or could I be imagining it? And I saw the Lord put a seal, like a stamp, a seal upon you. He set a seal upon you. You know, you can never shake your calling. You know, sometimes even when you want to shake it, you can't. You know, because it's who you are. It's part of who you are. When you're called to do something, it's so much a part of your identity. You can't shake it, you know. And sometimes when you're called, you go through sometimes difficult and dark seasons of preparation, right? Because you're being formed in the Spirit. You're being formed into the house of the Lord, basically, you know. And sometimes those seasons of waiting and being pressed and being in that dark place with God, you know, it's like being in the womb, kind of, you know. God puts a seed in you, but it's not a baby overnight, right? It's, you know, babies take 9 months, you know, they take time. And the seed of a ministry, whatever your ministry is, and whoever I'm talking to, and I know I'm talking to more than one person. Sometimes a seed is put in you and you can never shake it. And you go through pressing and pressure and difficulty and dark, not demonic, I don't mean that kind of dark, but there's a place of hidden in God where you're very much invisible. And in that place, something is being formed that is holy. It is utterly from heaven, and it can only be brought forth God's way. And so that's a learning process when you're a human, right? Because we only see in part and know in part. But what happens is he implants a seed in you, and sometimes it's from birth, you know. Sometimes it's when you're born again. Some people have an occasion or a moment where they've been born again for a while and they have a God encounter and they are called by God. But not everyone is the same. But once you have that, it's something on the inside of you that you can never shake. And there's times when you'll want it with everything you've got, and there's times when you'll not want it because it's painful to carry. But what is happening is there's something maturing in the Spirit, okay? We might compare it to wine that is being aged, okay? Or something that has to be aged, to be seasoned, to be made ready. And there's not one thing you can do to hurry that thing up, you know? You can dance as hard as you want to dance, you know? You can do all kinds of things, but there are some things that aren't ready till they're ready. Now, you can prepare your heart. And you can work on, you know, you can work with the Holy Spirit to be changed on the inside. To be able to house, you know, to house something that's holy is a great and amazing honor. And I don't know why God grants it to humans. But he has granted to us to house the holy. He said, know ye not that your body, your body, your physical body, is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Your body houses, it's the house of God. And if you get a revelation of what that means is the very glory of the Most High lives in your body. And that your job is to carry the holy place everywhere you go. Think of it as the holy temple in Jerusalem on wheels, you know. Trying to give you a word picture, trying to give you an understanding. You are, if you are born again, you are the temple of God. And your purpose is not all this hoo-ha. You know, it's nice to have enjoyment. I love having fun, but that's not my purpose. And I will not be satisfied in this life if I were to go all the way through my life and come to the end and not have done the thing I was put on earth to do. That is not okay. And so to carry this holy thing, his presence, to allow him to do, see, if we get a hold of this, we'll look at everything differently. So I want to try to paint a picture so clear that you begin to see who you are and what you're carrying. And everyone will do this differently because of different uniqueness and callings. I'm going to have you say, I am the temple of God. The house of the Holy Spirit. And everywhere that I go, he goes. Because he's in me. the very holiness of God lives in my body. And my job is to release him into the earth. And so you can see that our job is not to let everyone see our stinky flesh. But our job is to become, and I'm going to use a word, and don't think it's a bad word, it was stolen and counterfeited by the New Agers, but it's our word. I'm just saying. Really, we're the ones that are here to channel or funnel or be a pipeline for heaven being flowing through that channel, that pipe, into the earth. And so if you begin to see yourself in that light, and you begin to really see it, your focus will change from your outer man and all your circumstances and your emotions and all your stuff to what is he really doing right now? And who am I in him? And what is my job here? Because, see, God's revealing and he's releasing purpose tonight. I'm actually seeing callings, functions, unctions, anointings, mantles. Actually, I'm seeing a few mantles. And the problem is, if you don't have, I want to say the words, if you're not comfortable in your own skin, we have to come to terms with who we really are, not who everybody said we are, not who our parents thought we were, not who friends think we are, not who church leadership might think we are. We have to come to terms with who God says we are. And you are stamped and sealed. If you're born again, you've been stamped and sealed by God with his identity. Say, I am his. That's who I am. Yeah. And so for a few years, when God was trying to help me grasp the hugeness of this concept, and it's for every believer, it's not, I'm not special. Every believer has been given this. But for a few years, he would say to me, you know, I own you. And he'd say it like a couple times a day, you know, I own you, by the way. I own you. And some people might not like that phrase, but I loved it. Because it gave me this is my frame of reference. This is who I am. This is whose I am. This is my identity. And this is my home. So I don't need all of this hoo-ha. I don't need for people to like me or not like me. I don't need to be, in the world's eyes, successful. I don't need any of that jazz. Because I am owned by God, and he has claimed his ownership. That means he's not tired of me yet, or he wouldn't be saying it, right? And when we become kind of okay in our skin, so to speak, and come to terms with the fact that no matter what our past looked like, even no matter what our flesh, and by our flesh, I mean our soulish realm, our mind, will, emotions, maybe even our behavior is still being perfected, right? Because we're learning how to walk in the holiness that he has already put in us. Or Hebrews says it this way, he has forever made perfect those who are being made holy. Isn't that awesome? So while we're working out our stuff, and maybe not always saying exactly the right thing, and maybe sometimes not always thinking the right thing, but we're working on it, we're striving. Hopefully you're pressing into to a holy walk. Because really, when, you know, to an unbeliever that might sound boring, but when you start to get in it, it's a blast because there's just so much fruit and blessing and favor and anointing that's associated with a place in God. It isn't good behavior I'm talking about. It's a place in him. And we might call it being one in him. When that becomes home to you, to where you're comfortable at home. You know, when someone comes over to your house to visit, and they're a visitor, they behave usually more politely. But if they come over a lot, they might throw off their shoes and plop down on the couch and stick their feet up or go into the fridge and say, what do you got? What's in here? You got something good? You know, because now they're more than just a visitor. your home has become their home, right? I have a friend like that, a close friend. We used to hang out together. We still do, but she's further away now. But I would spend 3 and 4 days, and it was like my second home. And you never had to, you know, you could wear grubs, you know, you could completely be yourself, pray together, laugh together. It was home. It was like home. Well, there's a sort of an idea of that with God. That you come so close where he comes and hangs out in your house. You know, like I'm persuaded that that's how Bethany was for Jesus. That was kind of his, you know, if he had a second home, that would have been it. He was friends. They were friends. They were close friends. You know, he loved them. That's where he went to hang out, where he could kind of so-called put his feet up. But there's also a thing like that for us with him, where we become close enough that we don't have to use formal words anymore. I was laughing with a friend of mine because she was praying, and, oh, Lord, what is it you would have me to do? You know, I said, really? Is that the way you talk to him? I mean, no offense, but come on. You know, he's probably like, you know, drop the these and thous already. We're friends. I've called you friends, he said. I've called you friends. And so there's a place in him of, I mean, one day I wasn't even thinking. I mean, don't be offended. If you're religious, please don't be offended. I love the Lord with all my heart. He's absolutely number one, and I do revere him, and I do fear him. But he is, you know, when I was very young and didn't even know the Holy Ghost yet, first I'm going to say this story, and then you'll understand the next story. I was about to have a very bad car accident. I was all of about 17. I had been saved, and that's all. I didn't know anything about anything. I'd never heard anybody call God Abba or Daddy. I'd never heard any of that. Never. Never. I'm driving down the road. It's late at night. It's pouring rain. And my car went, you know, I must have hit a patch of rain or ice. And it went swinging around like this. And I was about to go off what I knew to be a very steep hill. And I knew the car would roll. And I knew it would be bad. And you know what came out of my spirit? Papa, no! I didn't even know him as Papa. I didn't even know those words. Think about it. My born-again spirit knew that. Papa. Abba, that's like Abba. Daddy. Like a big baseball mitt. Caught my car and set it gently down on the shoulder of the road facing the wrong way, but I was out of danger. That was a total miracle. Now, fast forward many years. Now we're very close friends. He's still my Papa. But one day I was asking him something. I wasn't really thinking. I said, Pops. And I didn't mean, you know, I'm not trying to be irreverent. It just came out of my mouth. You know, there's times when you get close enough to God, he'll tease you a little. When he knows you can take it, right? When he knows you're not going to fall apart at the seams. And, you know, he'll tease you a little. You know, kind of rib you a little. Because God invented humor, by the way. Some of you just have too much starch in your underwear. Just saying. But when you come close to God, it doesn't mean he's less holy. You know, it doesn't mean you revere him less, but there comes a oneness. And what's wonderful about it is if you go a day, and there's been days when I'm just telling you, there was so much work to do in the kingdom that I didn't have the kind of time I wanted with my Father. He's my favorite. He's home. He is my home. And it bugs me when I don't get to spend enough time with him. And I went to him late at night and I said, Lord, this just bugs me. He said, don't you think I had days like that when I was on the earth? Remember those days when I would minister and minister and minister and minister? I had to do my sleeping in the boat. And he said, we're together, and we are truly together 24/7. I mean, we have this, there's an open communication. And when God is raising up a people who live in him all the time, you know, that live in his presence, adore his presence, love his presence, but also get comfortable in their own, who they are, their real identity, not their earth identity, but their God identity, who they really are. And when you come into that, there's such a peace and such an acceptance of who he is in you and who you are in him. That it really doesn't matter what anybody thinks or says, whether they know you're called or not called, whether people approve of you or don't approve of you, it doesn't matter. And God is trying to, I just see junk falling off, you know. That's why I'm taking my time here, because I'm actually seeing in the spirit, I'm seeing junk fall off of people. I'm seeing like chains fall off, old ideas fall off, regrets. Someone just dropped some regrets. You know, regret is a pretty negative thing. It keeps you where you are. If you're always looking back over your shoulder, you cannot move forward. You cannot focus on the future when you're stuck focusing on your past. And so that's why God is always, always, just so many times saying, leave your past behind. Leave it behind. I'm washing it away. You know, sometimes I'll see someone come through a door and I'll see the Lord shut the door behind them, like, I'm not letting you come back there. Because that's not your covenant. That's not what I'm doing. And as long as you're stuck in there, I cannot bring you forth into light and hope and life and the new thing that I'm doing. Because, you know, when you still think, oh, it's always going to be that way, one of the worst things the past can do to you is get a hold of your thinking, it's always going to be like this. It's never going to change. Right? See, Satan wants you to think that no matter what I do, this is what happens. That is a lie from the pit. I don't care what your life was like. I don't care how many times something happened before. God is perfect at breaking the assignment, breaking the cycle. He can pick you right up out of it and put you in a new place in 1 second. It's not hard for him, not one little bit. I've seen him break cycles off of people that they were stuck in for years. I've watched him do it in a second. One woman came to a meeting in St. Charles, and God released a word, and it was about someone who had suffered from mental illness and a disorder, and that he was setting this person free, and I didn't know anything about what that disorder was. And a lady started coming to our meetings, and I didn't know, you know. One day she came up to me and she said, you know, that was me. And I said, tell me what you mean. And she said, well, I was in and out of you know, treatment and even institutionalized for a while because I had something wrong with my thinking. She had cyclical thinking, you know, a cycle. I'm talking to somebody in this room. Now, you're not mentally ill, this person I'm talking to, but you have this cycle that goes over and over and over and over and over, and you have a hard time breaking it. In the name of Jesus, I command that to be released and removed. And Lord, we thank you that you are giving us new thinking, new life, new hope. Those, when it's not, just say this, if that's you, just say it's not true. It's not true. It's not true. It's not true. Let's everybody just say it's not true. God's truth is what's true. I'm walking into a new thing. I'm walking into a new day. I'm never going to live in the past again. I'm breaking the cycle. In Jesus' name. Because a cycle causes you to expect the bad thing to happen again. But God has broken it. And once he breaks it, you don't ever have to look back, not even once. You don't have to go back and keep apologizing to God for the same old thing. It's like he doesn't remember it. He put it in the sea of forgetfulness. He remembers our sin no more. So sometimes when we keep coming back because we're beating ourselves up, he's saying, excuse me, what are you talking about? Wait, I already washed that away. I already dealt with that. I don't know what you're talking about. So it's actually counterproductive to keep dwelling with regret and looking back. You know, we can never fix the junk we did before, right? You know, it is what it is. But God can take it and erase it, wipe it away, and put something so much better in its place, it'll be as though it never happened. God is able to do that, and he's done it in my life. He has done it in my life with impossible situations, absolute failure, absolute wreckage. God has taken it and washed it all away and built something of his own. that I can't take any credit for, but I can point at it and go, oh, look at that, because he's so amazing. God is doing a thing. I hope I'm making sense to somebody. See him doing a thing in the spirit. It's so new and so bright. And some of you that have been afraid to hope for something better, there's someone, thank you, Jesus, someone in here has been afraid to hope for change or hope for the promise because you've been disappointed and hurt so many times. Did you ever have something like that where you were hurt so many times where you're like, I don't even, you know, don't even tell me the promise. I just don't want to hear it because, you know, if you're going to do it, God, just do it. But, you know, I don't want to hear it because it's just too painful. Come on, have you ever been there? Yeah, I have too. And you can get to it. I remember even saying to God, you know, if you want to do it, you know, yay, God, just do it. But, you know, kind of wake me up after you've done it because I cannot take, my heart could not take any more pain about it. I just, you know, there's only so much the heart can take. But when God does a thing, he does it, you know, it's like in an instant, in a moment, in an instant, when he drops newness of life into us. You know, I feel like a person that was raised from the dead. You know what I'm saying? I feel like a person that my life had to die, be buried with no hope. And I'm talking about for years. And you know, during that process, I reached a place where I couldn't feel anymore. I had no... I wasn't just saying, I don't care out of pain. I was saying, okay, I don't care because I didn't care. Because once you really die, you don't care. I didn't care. You know, I still loved the Holy Ghost. I cared about him. I still ministered by the Spirit. But I couldn't feel anything because so much had happened in my life that my heart, it's like my heart died. And I operated that way for a long time, and nobody even knew, because I knew how to do this stuff, you know. I knew how to get stuff done. Hallelujah. And I remember when God began to raise me from the dead. And I remember I was sitting on my patio. I was sitting out on the patio, and I felt something begin to stir in the spirit. And it felt like he might be saying, Lazarus, come forth. And so now there's some people in here, I'm speaking to you by the Spirit. There's some people in here that you've been through a death process. You have been through the loss of a dream, the loss of a hope, the loss of a relationship, the loss of a loved one. And I'm saying to you by the Spirit, Lazarus, come forth. I speak life. I speak resurrection power. I speak life. I speak resurrection power. I speak life to the seed in some of you that has been dormant, the seed of a calling, a ministry, an anointing, a hope, a purpose, a dream that you had. And in some cases, if the dream was not from God, there will be a different dream that is from God that so far exceeds your former dream. But in some cases, that dream, that seed, that hope, that calling was from the King. And it had to die. Jesus himself said, unless a seed fall in the ground and die, it abides alone. He was talking about himself. He had to die to be multiplied into us so that there would be many Jesus-like creatures in the earth. Jesus died for that. We understand there's some callings that require a death process in order to move in resurrection power. You cannot operate in resurrection power until you have died to some stuff. There's a lot of people ministering with no resurrection power because they have head knowledge. And I love them and I bless them, but it ain't the same thing. It's not the same thing to minister head knowledge because you went to a good school or studied a lot. It's not the same. There's something about somebody that was willing to go through the process with their only hope being God himself when there was nothing else. There was nothing else to hope for. But they held on to him. And they didn't stop loving him. And they didn't refuse him. And they didn't walk away from him. And they are like the young men that were thrown into the fiery furnace. With a fire so hot that it would have burnt them into ashes. But it couldn't touch them. And Jesus was there in the midst. The fourth man showed up in the fire with them. And when they came out, they were not burned. But they were carrying something. They didn't even have the smell of smoke on it, but they were carrying a power. And that's the resurrection power. And I know you're here tonight because some of you, you have been called to a resurrection power. You've not just been called to something. You've been called to carry a resurrection power life. And I'm not just talking about raising physical people from the dead. I'm talking about being able to speak life into situations in the earth. Corrupt, wrecked, ruined, hopeless situations, to be able to command and watch them come to life. There are times when God will say one sentence through me and I'll watch. And it's not me, it's Him. But when your vessel, which is the temple, when you come in alignment with the King, your vessel comes in alignment with the King of Kings, and you become one with Him in the Spirit. I'm not saying you became perfect in your flesh. I'm not talking about that. But in the Spirit and in your identity and in your heart, you became one with Him because you walked through enough fire together. When you walk through enough fire together with Him, there's no one closer to you than Jesus. No one. And nothing matters to you but what He's doing. He becomes your all in all for real, not just in your words. I said He becomes your all in all for real, where He becomes first. And the kingdom and the people become second, and you become third. And that happens in the fire, and it doesn't happen any other way that I know of. Might be some shortcut I never found, but to my knowledge, that happens in the fire. You're changed, you're transformed, your motives, your heart, your vision, the way you see, your dedication, your ability to go, your ability to go, your ability to go. Your ability to go right into the throne room in the temple. Legally, we all have that right, but how many people are able to just do it? But we're all called to it. We're all given to it, but there's a process. There's a journey, and is it worth it? Yes. And when I was in the fiery furnace, when I was in the process and really, honestly, despair of life, despair of all hope, I remember people would come up and say, all I know is it'll be worth it. And I would be like, you know, I know that. In my heart, I know that. I do. I had that revelation. But when you're in the pain, you know, that's, you know, not all that helpful. But once you come out of the fire and you've come into this thing that God is calling you to, it's a greater way. And I'm telling you, we're in the day right now. We're entering into a day the church has never been in before. I do believe before Jesus returns, there is going to come a day of great glory in the church. But not, some people will look on. I'm going to tell you, there's going to be a great split. Don't be shocked when some in the church don't like the move of God. Because God is really, He's really revealed to me. There are people who will say, I don't care how stupid I look. I want the glory of God. I don't care what I look like. I don't care what people think of me. I want God to be glorified, made manifest and known, and His power to be made known. And then there will be people who, like the Pharisees, say, well, we're the ones in authority and this is making us look bad and we don't like it. And they will be the very ones that come against. I'm telling you, persecution doesn't so much come from the world as it comes from the religious who had an opportunity and said, I don't like that way. I don't like the way you manifest the Holy Spirit. I don't like the way you sing that song. I don't like the way you dance. I don't like the way you shout or whatever the deal is. Who cares? Whatever. But my point is this. There will be a remnant of whosoever wills, of people who say, listen, I don't care what it costs. I want to be one of those that can carry your presence. I don't have to be known. I don't have to get the credit for it. I don't have to get any awards. I don't care if anybody knows it was me. I just want your glory to be manifest in the earth. I want your presence to go forth. I want people to be changed. And that's what I'm here for. You know, I've told the Lord, I can't even count how many times. I just want to do what I was put here to do and then take me on home. There is not one thing here that interests me. You know, I love y'all, but I would go home like right the second if I could. And not because I'm unhappy. I'm very happy. I'm one of the happiest people I know. I'm happy. But I'll tell you something. I'd be even happier if I get to go be with Him. I told one friend of mine, I said, if you ever see me, if I croak, don't you even think. Don't even think. Because I'll be on the other side of the door. You know how there's a door frame, and I'll have my hands and my feet, and I'll be like, don't even think about it. Unless the Lord commanded me to come back, because I ain't coming back here. There are many callings in this room. And so that's why we're talking about this. There's many, I actually see people coming up out of their chair and into a new thing, you know, into a thing in the Spirit. God is calling you forth. I see him calling, like picking you up and setting you in place, setting you in your position. It won't look like anybody else's position. I see people that are being called into intercessory realms. You know, there's levels in every calling. I don't know if you know this. But if you move in the Spirit and you move at one level, don't ever think you got it. Because what you got is that level. Don't ever think, oh, I have it. You know, I'm the pro. Because you know why we get in trouble? We compare ourselves among ourselves. This is where we get in trouble. Let's say you are the only one in your church that operates in the gifts. Then you might fall into the trap of thinking, well, I've got it. They don't, I do, I've got it, okay. Not necessarily even pride, but just you won't go any further because you don't know there is further. Because you've not seen it in the earth. You should have. But the church has been such a mess. But I'm telling you, there's so many levels so far beyond what we've seen. You know, in my area, there's just not tons and tons of people moving in the Spirit. But I'll tell you, I went to a conference a few years ago, and I felt like a three-year-old kid doing finger painting compared to these guys. In the Spirit, they were so far beyond me. Their knowledge of the, I'm talking about of the Spirit. And they weren't lightweights, and they were heavy in the Word of God and the Spirit, because that's a real way to do it. I mean, they knew their Word. I mean, I was like, you know. So we need to be very careful not to think we've achieved something just because we did something, you know. God uses, you know, turkeys. God uses all of us, you know, no matter what our condition. But we can never think, no matter how much you grow in your level, or in your, I want to say this, in your realm, there's levels and levels and levels beyond that. And the reason I know that is every time he puts me in a new place, I'm like, oh, what is this place? And then he has to teach me about it. And then kind of when I get, okay, I think I know what you're trying to show me, I kind of learn that. Then, oh, here's something else, you know. And I don't think, honestly, the way he taught me was he said, I'm infinite. So no matter how much I teach you, don't ever think you have it. Don't ever stop growing. Don't ever stop pressing. Because I am infinite. And the minute we think we have something, we'll stop there. And it'll be, oh, we'll minister out of that. But that's as far as we'll ever go, right? But God has something so far beyond. Am I making any sense? And so God's trying to raise up a people who won't settle for less. And who won't, you know, be used and then think, doo-dah, I was used, because it's not about that, you know? Doo-dah. God's trying to raise up a people who really are about him. And so one of the first things you have to crucify is motive. We have to deal with the motives of our heart. Because I'm going to tell you something, we tend to be a very selfish people. And it comes from the fall. Most people, I actually believe all, I'm being generous here, but I actually believe all people, we are born very selfish. You know, honestly, babies, it's all about me. It's about me. It is about me. I want my bottle. I want my diaper. And I want my nap. And I want it now. And the whole house is trained, you know. One little wah, and everybody, you know. Right, and but we grow up, and our motive is still me, 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 me. And when we get saved, now we love Jesus, but it really is still about me. And we start to think about how I might be used, and how many souls I might win. And that's not maybe true of everybody, but it sure was true of me. And so me being an aggressive, ambitious type of get-it-done person who likes results, I brought all that garbage from the world over into my Christian walk, not even realizing that it was filth. Come on, ambition. Yeah, it's filthy rags. Filthy rags. Ambition to accomplish something for God.
right? Because we want the stamp of, we want to feel like we're important. Well, we are important. Come on, if we get the real identity right, then we know we are important, and we don't need to have raised the dead three times yesterday to feel like we have value. I saw it with Edgar. Edgar had an anointing to heal the sick, and I saw that what caused, he had a gift for it, but what would happen is this compassion from God, this deep caring, that the person was in pain. He didn't care about healing the sick so somebody would think he was great. He couldn't stand to watch people be in pain. He had this compassion from God, and his whole motive about getting somebody healed was with them. His motive for getting somebody saved was he truly didn't want them to go to hell. He wanted them in heaven. He wanted them to know Jesus. He didn't want another notch on his Holy Ghost belt, you know. He didn't think that way. You know, and I remember, I'll never forget the night when God pulled back the curtain and showed me my heart, and I went, ick, icky poo. Because I wanted to be used of gold. But my motives weren't so good. Now, my heart was pure. I love God. Now, that is true. I love God with all my heart. I really do. But I had some stinking motives lurking, and I realized I have some work to do here. Clean up. Clean up in aisle five. Get the mop. Get the scissors. This is disgusting. And I began to really go before God and seek Him to convert my heart, convert my emotions, convert my motives. I began to really press in to be changed. You know, and that doesn't happen, well, it could happen in a moment with God. But I had to press in for a while. But I did begin to see change. Am I there yet? No, but I saw change in my motive, my desires, my heart, my priorities. I began to see change. See, the whole process of being made ready, it's not about the gift you move in. Some of you moved in gifts from the day you were born again. But again, doo-dah. I'm not trying to discourage your gifts, but what I will say is this. Some people have a gift, and they think because of that gift, they should just be instantly thrust into ministry because they're ready. Uh-uh. No, until your heart is prepared and your house, your housing, the temple, is prepared to properly house the glory and give all the credit to Him. And I don't mean just in that fake outward way.
Oh, it's nothing. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. He did it all. But I notice He didn't through you. You know, I mean,
have you ever seen false humility? Puke. Right? But when our heart is, see, the reason, one of the great things about the fiery furnace, one of the great things about being crucified is you try everything you know to make it happen, and you can't. You try every human way to be used of God, and you can't. You try praying it through, fasting, you try everything, and at some point you finally go, well, I guess it's just not happening. Good, now you get it. You don't have it. I have it in you. And once you know that, once you get the depth of that revelation and it's really a part of who you are, then He can use you to do anything He wants because you know you're a complete screw-up. I was there. It was not a pretty sight. You see, He's trying to raise up a people who wholly get that they don't have any real ability. It's all Him. And not just with head knowledge, but they really get that. Because then they can have revival. They can have hundreds and thousands of souls and healings and a move of God. And they know it wasn't anything they did because they tried every way they could. And it didn't work, you see? So I was starting to call out some stuff, so we'll just keep going with that. I saw some people who are called to prayer, and you are used in prayer already, and you're moving in the Spirit already. And that's really awesome. That's an awesome calling. It is not a seen calling. It is not a known calling, but is very much seen and known in heaven. Very much appreciated among the angels and among by the Father. Very, very deeply appreciated. Because without true prayer and intercession, not a whole lot happens in the earth that needs to happen. Okay? It's a big, big deal. But what I want to say to those intercessors is there are many increasing levels of intercession and of the Spirit of God, okay? So you'll find yourself moving into more and more levels, seeing more, hearing more, perceiving more. And the more, the better you steward the stuff that you get, right? God will show you'll get to a place where there's some things you just can never tell, right? There's some things in the spirit you see that you just can never talk about. But if you can manage that and steward that, God can give you more, okay? If you can carry it well and not, you know, tell everybody some of the things, you know, kind of sense when you can and when you can't. And when that is the case, God promotes you again, okay? But that is true of every calling. I see many, many types of callings in this room. I saw someone that, I saw your eyes fly open and you were looking up and you're actually seeing some things in heaven. And this is kind of a new way of seeing for you. I saw eyes opening wide in the spirit. You're beginning to see things moving around in the spirit. You're beginning to see things. You're being called into a new realm of vision, a new realm of seeing, a more of an open heaven. Although God has already opened heaven to his children, we tend to have some things that we need to deal with to get our eyes and ears open. So I'm seeing the eyes open. I'm seeing a God connection to the heart. Someone here, you've been crying out, but you have felt like you're not enough. And that belief of not enough has kept the divine connection of his heart to your heart. Okay? And I saw that lie break. It's a lie. God has called you. And before he calls you to other things, the first thing he calls you is a heart connection. That's the first thing we need to do, is let his heart and our heart be connected so that he can talk freely to us. He can work freely with us, that we're connected. There's a oneness there. And what keeps us out of that is the lie that he doesn't want it. The lie that somehow, maybe I've done something wrong, maybe I'm, you know, see, we, here's how we see things. We measure ourselves up and down, oh, I was bad today, I'm good today, I was bad today. God loves me, God doesn't. This promise is for me, oh, not today. All lies. We measure ourselves. Paul said, I don't even judge myself. You see, there's one who judges, right? God has purchased something for you, but you can't even begin to do the stuff of God or to even live right. We can't even begin to... Listen, I couldn't even get delivered until I got the heart connection. We think, well, I'll get delivered, I'll clean up my act, I'll get all holy, and then I'll be able to connect with God. Wrong-o. You will not truly get delivered, set free, or clean up your act until you get that heart connection with him. Because it's him that sets us free. It's relationship. It's relationship that sets us free. Hanging out with him in all our screwed up mess, saying, Lord, I want to be free from the thing. Set me free. I'm so glad you asked. See, because it's that heart connection. And so the lie of not being able to connect with him is your enemy. Treat it as an enemy. Take captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. And when that lie tries to spring up in your soul, or the enemy says to you, oh, God doesn't really want to talk to you, or God doesn't really want to use you, or God doesn't really want to be with you today, say, oh, no, I beg to differ. It is written. I'm accepted in the Beloved. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. Because if you don't really believe that, then you don't really believe his word. Or you say, yeah, I believe he says that about other people, but not really. Oh, so, okay, then you're saying God is a respecter of persons. Come on, are you hearing me? We have to understand that the promises he made are for every born-again believer. Now, do we have stuff to work through? Absolutely. But the holiness of God comes from relationship. See, I was always taught, I believe, incorrectly. I was in a church and we all believed God for revival and we prayed for revival and we talked about revival. But the teaching was, when we live holy, then there will be revival. And we strove and we pressed in for holiness. And I love that. That is correct. But what I discovered was, as we press in for real holiness, we go in first. We get the Spirit of God first. We get relationship first. We hang out with the King first. And in his presence, our junk falls off. In his presence, we are delivered. In His presence, our thinking is changed. In our presence, we are revived and people around us begin to be revived. You see how it's a little bit backwards? And so if we try to get perfect and then get connected, we're going to have a problem, because you can't ever get perfected outside of Him. We don't have the ability. Our flesh does not have the ability to perfect itself. In our own flesh nature, we don't have the ability to deliver ourselves, heal our heart. We don't have it. Change, transform our mind. No, it all comes from Him. God is changing people in this room. I know this is a different kind of meeting. We're not really preaching, but I'm seeing interaction in the Spirit. Hope you're okay. I'm seeing thinking change, new hope arising. I'm seeing callings come forth. I just saw somebody throw off an old cloak and say, I'm not wearing that anymore. Good. Throw off the lies that Satan has bound to you. One of the biggest lies is just what I said. It's for everybody, but not really me. You know, everybody, oh yeah, I believe God. I believe God does, yes, He would use that one and that one and that one. Yes, He would use that one that came off a death row, but not me. Oh, okay. Well, you must be pretty bad. You believe that He could take a murderer and save them radically, forgive their sins, and put them out there and make them a great evangelist. You can believe that, but oh, not you. You see how squirrely that thinking is? So we have faith, but we just, you know, that's just flat out demonic attack is what that is. Because Satan is afraid you're going to get it. He's afraid you'll come into communion with the King. Satan's biggest fear, his single biggest fear, is that you're going to commune with God. That's why he tries to get you to sin. He doesn't really care if you sin. You know why he wants you to sin? So he can use it as a lever to keep you out of the presence, to condemn you, to make you beat yourself up so you won't commune with the Father. It's all a big scam. It's a scam. That's what it is. And so we have to get more shrewd than the devil. And we have to start to say, oh, no. Mm-mm. Nope. And you need to monitor the stuff that comes into your head, thoughts. You need to monitor it. Don't just, get the emotions going and pretty soon you're in an emotional thing and you don't know where the seed came from. Those emotions come from a dart that is a thought. It's either a thought that came from a wound in your soul or it's a dart that came from the enemy, okay? Doesn't matter which the source is. But you need to get good enough at monitoring your thoughts where you go, oh no, wait, that's not of God. That's counter to what the Bible says. The Bible says, it is written. And you just keep bashing that devil in the head. You keep taking captive every thought to the obedience, and I'm telling you, you will get free. There's nothing that you can't do in God. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you're the least of the least. There's nothing that you can't do. And God has not limited you. We have limited Him with our thinking. Okay, so if we can get the thinking changed, I'm telling you, there's nothing we can't do in God. Every promise is yes and amen for you personally. But we have to get that cap of limitations or lies broken. We have to. Okay? Hallelujah. Just waiting to see if there's anything else. Again, I'm hearing you're leaving some things behind. There's some of you are going to walk out of here, and you're leaving some junk in this room. Leave it. We'll burn it under the blood. Just seeking the Lord here. Just seeing new hope. New hope. New hope. Hope again. Where hope was lost, He's saying hope again. Hope again. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of being hurt. Hope again, he says in Jesus' name. Okay, amen. Hallelujah.